course, as an only child, often the, I think maybe one was a person impressed more readily.
Yes, that's quite possible.
Because I had memory of being a lonely child too, because I envied everyone who had large.
Were there many other children?
Yeah, well, the Moore family was a great source of joy to me, because they were about seven children in this monstrous great house, and I didn't envy them so much their affluence, but I envied their brothers and sisters. So I used to go there, and this was just a great mecca for us all, the Pontifex boys. Now, the Pontifexes lived on the other side of the Mather house, on the other side of Gilpin, on what we call Grandview Highway, an old house that was set well back. Bob Pontifex used to go there. So we had the run of those acres. Mrs. Moore was a very warm and friendly person.
I've heard quite a bit about her.
One, Ethel Moore, but she made us all very welcome, and it was a difficult situation. Old Major Moore and Mrs. Moore were estranged, but they lived in the same house. So this, I could never quite understand this as a boy, but he would keep to himself upstairs and she would dance. But we had boats on the lake, and we had rafts on the lake, and a few kites. That was quite an attraction. So, and there were not too many other boys or children around except that Moore bunch. Some, but not many.
As children, did you ever think of any Indian artifacts, arrowheads?
We didn't yet. No, we never. That was one thing we didn't do. We had no. It just didn't occur to us, I guess. I can't recall ever doing that.
I've talked to some people in that area who have found a few.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to track down where they might have been found.
They've never. Now, as I can recall, I don't think anybody ever mentioned that. Oh, I think there was some. I seem to recall there was some saying there was an Indian encampment between the lakes near, but that was all I could recall. No, there's nothing specific about Indian artifact.
Could you go back to what we were talking about earlier and tell me about when the mansion was being built, your grandfather's house?
Oh, well.
And what you remember it?
Yeah, all right.
And why he built it, or as far as you know?
Well, my grandfather, as you know from your own records, was English. My grandfather was an official in the CPR. He had three pillars of his faith, if you like. One was the CPR, and the other was the British Empire, and the other was the Conservative Party. I guess the church would be in there somewhere, because he had been a devout Anglican, but then he married into a Baptist family. He had played the organ in the Baptist church, and he attended church regularly. But he was what we would call today, certainly, as a high Tory. And I think he wanted to act, to be the part of a CPR official, and he wanted to. He liked farming as well, but he didn't want to settle for a grubby farm out in the Fraser Valley. He wanted a farm with a big house. So this is where it all started. He decided that he would have this magnificent house, which in those days, to us at least, it was. I recall very little about it being built, but I do remember going out in his Blackton Buick to look at the property and to see the place as it was. So they moved out, and we stayed in Grandview, living in Grandview. For the reasons I stated, my father felt that, and my mother. I guess my mother wanted to be near her parents. My father agreed to it because he thought it'd be good for me to grow up in a country atmosphere. So we moved. I would go to the house frequently. I would go as twice a day, maybe more. As I remember, I was only allowed to go in the back. You could only, guests would go in the front door, or the minister, or whoever. But I did sneak in the front door once in a while with the help of my uncles. Dangerous living, I suppose. And on the right, of course, we had the living room, which was Victorian certainly Victorian in its decor and in its furnishings. I remember sitting in there, being very bored as a small boy, sitting with short pants on the horsehair couches, with the horsehair sticking into your legs. It wasn't a living room, it wasn't to be lived in, it was to be used for very special occasions. I sometimes used to think they were waiting for either a wedding or a funeral to use it, but the odd guests would come and they would use it, but it wasn't not a comfortable room. It was, to me now, it would be fascinating because of all the things that were there. But to me then, it was a cold room. We went into the back, of course, my grandmother and grandfather's bedroom, right hand side, bathroom ahead, stairs going up, and the kitchen, dining room, and the den. My happiest or most pleasant memories were the kitchen and the den, I suppose. The kitchen, because from our house across the road, I think, all that distance, I could smell when my grandmother was baking bread, which she made magnificent bread, and rolls. And I would go and get hot bread with fresh butter. She would give me the real raspberry jam from their own berries. A huge old kitchen with the old-fashioned stove that went right down to the floor, coal and wood stove. Can't think there was anything very modern in there. I don't know even whether there was an ice box, but I doubt it. It would be a root cellar somewhere. And then I know it had a breakfast nook, and that was considered quite modern in those days. We didn't sit in the middle of the room, but a breakfast nook. And speaking of the breakfast nook, one of my memories is that occasionally I would get there early on a Saturday morning when I wasn't going to school, and I would get tracked by family prayer. My grandfather had a huge book. It wasn't a Bible, but it was a family prayer book, and he would conduct family prayers, and anybody who was in the kitchen having breakfast or whatever was tracked, and you all had to get down on your knees around the breakfast because the knees were awful hard on my grandfather. The floor was very hard on my knees. And then the dining room, that doesn't register too much except that it was a large table and we would have family Christmas dinners there. I never remember my grandmother not working. I seldom remember her relaxing, sitting down, and doing nothing, but it seems to me she worked all the time. She was a saintly person, and she was very patient, but she worked if it wasn't the cooking, it was the wash. Now, there was occasional help. I believe that a woman came in occasionally, but not often. And there was help with the fire. Part-time again, I believe. I think a man came once in a while because they had a horse and a cow and chickens. But my grandmother did a lot of work with animals as well. And Grandpa did too, of course. On the weekends, he could have his rubber boots on, he'd be up pitching hay. All these farming things that he enjoyed so much.